Hot Business on Hot 102.7 with Moneyweb.
Now, many South African investors might be unaware that they are eligible to reclaim a portion of the withholding tax deducted from dividends on their offshore investments. This potential tax recovery arises from differences in tax rates established by international treaties between South Africa and other countries. If you feel confused, I want to shed a bit of light on this tonight. And I'm in conversation with Mark Berger, Chief Executive Officer of Global Tax Recovery. It's a firm that specializes in recovering dividend taxes for both institutional and retail investors. Mark, good evening to you and a warm welcome. So let's try and simplify this. Maybe just explain, first of all, what a dividend withholding tax is and how it applies to investors with offshore investments.
So if I can just give you a brief explanation. What happens is, if you're a South African investor and you invest in foreign shares, the likes of Richemont or Nestle or even Apple Computers, what will happen is the foreign jurisdiction will charge you a tax on the dividend that you earn, which in the case of Nestle, as an example, will be 35% tax. So if you're going to earn a dividend of let's say 10,000 Rand, you're not going to receive the 10,000 Rand, you're only going to receive 6,500. The tax rate will depend on the jurisdiction as to where that company is based. So what we do is we then apply a double tax treaty or any local laws to reduce that tax rate. Generally speaking, we can recover more than half the tax. So what happens is that there are certain investments on the JSE, shares on the JSE, such as Richemont or Anheuser-Busch, which was the company that took over the old SA breweries. And when those companies are paying the dividend, it's obviously coming from a foreign jurisdiction where there's a foreign tax rate attached to the dividend. So our company, when we engage with clients, we look at this, we analyze it, and we see whatever we can recover for the clients. And generally speaking, looking at the South African market, no one was doing the recovery, and it was just being left on the table in the foreign jurisdiction where the clients actually were leaving money that they should have earned in the hands of the foreign tax authority.
So, Mark, what then are some of the common misconceptions that investors might have about reclaiming that tax?
So if you're invested in a foreign share, the investors generally think that in the case of like a Nestle or a Louis Vuitton, that when the dividend is getting paid, that that foreign company is charging the correct tax rate. So investors aren't aware that there is an opportunity to recover, because the tax rate that is being attracted to the dividend will be the foreign tax rate. And they, generally speaking, are not aware that there is a opportunity for a double tax treaty to be applied, which is obviously where we come in.
So, Mark, is it a very complicated process in reclaiming the tax itself? For instance, what kind of documentation would you need?
So we collect all the documentation. It's more bureaucratic that the foreign tax authorities make it very difficult to do the recovery. If you can imagine, if you are doing a tax refund from SARS, they make you wait many months. If you're a foreigner, you can imagine you are below the rung. You're the next level of a category of investor that needs to wait for their refund.
Mark, are there specific countries where South African investors are more likely to overpay withholding tax due to those treaty differences that you mentioned?
Yes, mainly it's investments in Europe, investments in Switzerland, investments in property stocks in the United Kingdom, investments in Asia, such as Taiwan or Indonesia. It all depends on where the investor is located, which jurisdiction they are tax resident, and where they are invested into, which will define which treaties apply to them. So if you are a South African, you've got over 60 tax treaties that you can apply to your own investments. Obviously, it'll be slightly different. If you are an Australian, then you would need to apply all the treaties that Australia has, which depending on which country you're from, will define which treaties you can apply to your own investments to do the recovery.
Mark, given that so many South Africans now look at offshore investment as a viable option, and having not been aware of the situation previously, I'm assuming that there is potentially a lot of money on the table here.
Yes, and investors, generally speaking, always left it up to their wealth managers or the banks to make sure that their portfolios are fully looked after, which they are. But, you know, there's always a missing piece of the puzzle where those wealth managers and banks don't have the necessary resources in order to have a comprehensive understanding of international and global tax recovery, which is why we become an outsourced part of the banks and the wealth managers and the private family offices, private investors, in order to ensure that they are collecting the returns that are due to them.
Now, look, I know you've got a business to run, and I'm assuming that there would be costs and or fees associated with the tax recovery process. How do you go about doing it?
So to make it easy for the client, you know, we've got quite a large team. A lot of them come from the Big Four, where the hourly charge is quite prohibitive. And if you had to go tell someone that they need to pay a significant amount of money for an initial meeting and for every hour after that in doing the work, generally speaking, you'll find investors aren't interested. So what we do is we work on a success-only basis, which means that if we do a recovery, we keep a small percentage of whatever we recover. And of course, if we don't recover, then we don't charge them anything. But that's never the case, because if we weren't recovering, we wouldn't be in business. And we do this for more than 65,000 investors globally.
How much opposition sometimes would you run into, and how would you deal with it?
Often you find that when you approach the necessary beneficial owner and investor, they will tell you that there isn't an opportunity because they're dealing with the best bank and they're invested in the best stocks, and they can't understand why the tax rate that they were charged would be different to what actually should have been charged. So once you get through the process of educating them that, you know, the bank and the stocks that you're invested in, they did charge you the correct rate based on the circumstances that they knew at the time the dividend was paid. So when we come along, we then, once they understand the situation, the proof is in the pudding that, you know, once we do the recovery for them, they can see that it's not magic. It actually is something that of substance where, you know, unfortunately, there's also something called the statute of limitations, where you can only go back so many years before the opportunity to recover actually expires. So it's up to us as a company to educate the public, to explain to them that there is such an opportunity, whether you be an investor, a private investor, or a family office, or a family trust, or even a unit trust, a corporate investor, that there will be an opportunity for you to recover based on where you are invested.
I suspect that lots of people listening to our conversation tonight are going to have a re-look at their offshore portfolio. Mark Berger, that is good advice, and I do appreciate you joining me on the program tonight. He is the Chief Executive Officer of Global Tax Recovery. Mark, thank you so much, and good night to you.
Heart Business on Heart 1027 with Jeremy Maggs and MoneyWeb.